Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Eric Semmel, it's Tech Tuesday. If you don't know Eric, Computer Talk with Tab, every Saturday, 9 to 11. Are you getting new people? Do you think people are listening to this and then tuning in on Saturday?
I would hope, right? Both ways. Yeah.
You would hope so.
You would hope.
And that's the whole.
I mean, we always say we don't know what you're doing if you're listening to our show on a Saturday, beautiful Saturday morning.
Yeah, what is
something else?
I won't say get a life because I mean, I always learn from the conversations, and awesome. And you can ask any question you want. So you know, usually Eric gives me a whole series of stories, and then we talk about those stories. And there's one story where you know Disney's getting rid of Slack, and then I said, you know. I hear all these terms because I don't have a real job, right? You know what I mean? I'll do Microsoft Teams or a Zoom, but like generally speaking, I don't have a lot of integrative work stuff, right? Because I just don't. I don't need it. We see the people we work closely with. We communicate via text or what have you.
Yep.
So what? First of all, what is Slack?
It's an instant messaging system. It's a corporate instant messaging system. So you can reach anybody within your corporation and send simple texts. You can send links. You can send whole conversations, attachments. You can even do video calling within it. It's a messaging system that was purchased by another larger company.
What's the name of that larger company? Oh, Salesforce bought it.
Yeah.
And the advantage is that you can keep it all with private within that company without it getting seen.
Well, that's your hope, right? Yeah.
Right.
It's all without getting seen. And the problem here with the folks at Disney is that 1.1 terabytes of Disney messages got leaked because they were hacked because a Slack programmer left his
system active. It slacked off.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So you're looking at 10,000 channels within Disney. And so the thing about instant messaging, right, it tends to be a little less formal than email.
Correct.
And so people say things.
They do.
And if you get 1.1 terabyte of Disney messages you may not be happy with that are out there in the dark web. So basically Disney's going to sack Slack and move on to another instant messaging system, probably called, you know, Teams is the other major competing one. So the moral of the story is this is just like CrowdStrike, where Elon said, hey, no more CrowdStrike on my systems. After 8.5 million systems impacted by CrowdStrike, he said enough. Disney did the same thing.
Is that a big, like, I mean, in terms of like the business, if you lose the Disney contract, that's a big deal? Like,
probably not, right? Okay. But it's just another thing where they're actually taking action against the companies that lost their data.
Now, let's move on. We're talking with Eric Semmel from Tab Computers. And again, you can listen to him every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I saw the headline, you know, before you sent the link that they're going to restart Three Mile Island because I grew up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was a big deal growing up. Three Mile, I didn't really understand it. But the reactor or whatever they're going to start up wasn't one of the ones that was the problem.
No, it's right next door to it.
Right. So, but then, and then I read the piece a little bit, like in passing, and it said something about the energy would go to Microsoft. But the way you captioned it, it sounds like Microsoft is actually funding it.
I know. Well, it's basically AI, right? So the AI is, Microsoft has to become more green. Their data centers are pumping out more carbon than ever, right? And so they need a reason to be green. You can't.
By the way, these data centers sound horrible.
They do, but they give you all the ability to Google how close your Starbucks is.
Okay, so that's what it does for me.
Or the next door, if we get to it, where you actually have these actual fake sounding humans sound human. So basically, AI is coming, and Microsoft has to find a way to stay green because you don't want the government breathing down your neck because you're not green enough, or even folks, the environmentalists. So they're gonna turn on Three Mile Island. You just got to love the irony of that, right? You're turning on a nuclear power plant that didn't do so well.
A long time ago. We're talking like, it's like more than 40 years, right?
What could go wrong? Right. That's the thing about all this stuff is like there's no planning. There's regulatory agencies, right? So they have to go through the regulatory agencies to do this. But if you watch the Netflix special on this whole thing, it's a scary thing that occurred back in the 70s. And not that nuclear energy can't be extremely safe. It's just when you juxtapose it with Microsoft, you can't do an update to keep your machine running without crashing. And then you think about Three Mile Island. To me, it just cracks me up. It's just a funny juxtaposition of Microsoft next to Three Mile Island. What could go wrong?
But you can't just just flip a switch, though, and turn that sucker back. You got to probably...
They're going to have to go through all sorts of processes to get through it. And you've got the other unit right next door that still probably has issues, right? I mean, it's... I'm not sure how.
But has Three Mile Island been fallow? Like, has it been?
I don't think.
Has it been used at all? I mean, it's okay.
I think it's been kind of paused, maybe. But they're going to have a reason to fire up that.
So it's definitely happening.
They're going to go through the process, and that's why it's in the headlines, right? So people are going to either say yay or nay, right?
So we're talking with Eric Semmel from Tab Computers here on Brian and Company. Matt, do you have that? Can you roll out that clip?
All right, everyone, get ready, because today we are going way back to the digital stone age.
Yeah, back to the time of dial-up and floppy disks.
We are diving deep into the surprisingly complex world of Minesweeper.
That's right, we're going beyond those little gray squares.
Uncovering a story of early gaming ingenuity.
Unexpected cultural impact.
And even a bit of Bill Gates sneaking around the Microsoft office.
Always love that story.
Oh, this is more my speed intrigue in the time of dial-up. So we're talking about the game that came pre-installed on practically every computer in the 90s.
So you're telling me that those are not real voices?
They're not real, including their breathing, including just their, you can hear their mouths making the actual
If tone. You know that going in, you can say it sounds too perfect, right? I mean... But if you didn't know it going in, you'd be like, it's just two people who have good diction and articulate well, and they're talking about...
Yeah, they just ingested a book about Minesweeper.
So it's a podcast. It's a fake AI podcast.
It's an audio summary, they're calling it. Notebook LM, they're calling it audio summaries. And so basically, you don't need any humans to do your book reviews anymore. Dump any topic into it.
They take a side?
They do actually.
Because reviews, the word review you can take in two ways. Review means they summarize it, and review is the way I look at it is they're going to tell me if it's good or not.
Right. You're going to have, it depends on what the content that they ingested feels, right? So that they're going to glom onto certain aspects of it and make a bigger deal out of areas of the material based on the writer of the material. They didn't write any of this material. They just ingested your book, let's say. You have a topic, like write about Red Sox and Yankees. You write a book about it. They'll talk about it as if. Whatever
so you feed it the book and then you say review it and you have to give specific prompts like I want co-hosts, I want a female voice and a male voice, I want them to sound between the ages of 25 and 54, and I want them to do blah blah blah.
And they did a 12 and a half minute summary of Minesweeper. So it's just that's where it's going, right? So you look at all these quote unquote influencers. I could generate an influencer. You ever watched The Matrix with a woman in the red dress, right? Coming down
of
the Matrix?
Of course. I know the woman in the red dress.
Imagine if your influencer was something like that with all the data, exactly how you wanted it. Don't have to pay anybody. You don't even have to do the time. You just actually ingest the data and have it happen.
For summary's sake, that makes a ton of sense. For actual opinion making, though, can it do that? That's my big question. Does it have a take?
It has a take based on how it ingests the information and processes it. It can have hallucinations. So far, they haven't. In this example, they didn't really have any kind of hallucination. And they did make a big deal.
What does that mean?
Well, basically, AI can hallucinate certain things. It just gloms on and makes – it just says things that are not even real within the topic because it's gathering data from elsewhere. Here, it's only gathering the data that you've given it. So it shouldn't have any kind of AI.
Because if they can give opinions, then I'm done too.
Well, I would tell you, I think they will eventually give opinions because, again, if you wrote the book, your opinion will be in there, right? So they're going to give your opinion if you did a review.
No, but I'm talking about I give them a book and I tell them they have to decide to like it or not.
You could actually tell them to do that.
But they would make some sort of decision on whether – because to me that's the –
Is it a decision or not? You're just going to prompt it in there, right? So
no, but I'm not telling it which way to go.
In this case, maybe you don't, but in the next one you do. Right? Whose opinion would you like it to take? Which side would you like it
but
to take?
But that's the thing is I read reviews. We can talk about this another time. I think we're missing each other a little bit. I read reviews to get a sense of whether it's worth my time.
Well, the problem
not whether just to learn to do the cliff notes.
I hear you, but a lot of reviews are really just paid reviews, so they're already built-in opinions that the product is great. So who you have to find that impartial reviewer. Otherwise, the guy's getting paid because he's linking the product, so he sells it to you to Amazon. Right. So it's not like it's impartial now.
See, but you're in your little your tech world bubble. I'm in like the movie book right. world where I want somebody to tell me if I should read it or if I should see it. And so if they get to the point where they can do that. And it's credible.
Well, how often does a reviewer tell them the movie's awful, but Rotten Tomatoes says it's awesome, and the people go out and watch
sure,
it?
Sure, but I tend to listen to certain things, but maybe you could feed it like, okay, I want you to do it, you know, with the thought pattern of Roger Ebert or right. whatever, and I don't know if it
I'm
can do
sure
that.
I'm not sure it's there yet, no. Okay. Roger Ebert's thought pattern is probably safe for now.
Okay. Eric, sorry to push back a little bit
No.
I'm trying to figure it out because I need to make sure my job stays relevant for at least 13 more years.
Amen. We'll do our best to keep you here.
All right. Listen, you can listen to Eric every Saturday, 9 to 11, right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. It's Computer Talk with Tab, and we talk with Tech Tuesday every Tuesday. Time, is it always 8:20 now?
Yeah.
Is that our slot, if you will?
Yeah, it's our slot.
Thanks for coming in, as always.
My pleasure, Brian.